Hallelujah. The path to the cross that's provided for the miracle, your call, your righteousness, your new nature. The path to it is sovereign and finished, as the cross itself is. And your journey can be as sovereign, as deliberate, as the price he paid for you. In the way you get on this path, it's even encased in Jude. Not only in Jude and Corinthians. I mean, Corinthians is minute detail. That's where I found out the four different tongues, the diversities, diverse tongues, he said, not just one, diversities of tongues, not just other languages, but diversities of that gift of praying in tongues, a tongues for edification, your tongues for interpretation, a tongue for a deep intercessional groanings of the Spirit, and a tongue as a sign to the unbeliever when you're preaching in their language and don't know it. So there's four diversities. But the thing is, he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, which is the plan of God for your life, and it enables him to make intercession for you then in that language according to the will of God, and then you can know all things will begin to be turned or work together for the good them that love God and are called now according to his purpose. Now, wouldn't you say that's a path you can get on purpose? If you ever studied the history of Japan, it's taken civilization longer to get that out of the second generation in Japan than it did in our movie, television, popsicle civilization we have now. Well, when they'd see us make something, they'd go get it and make it better. And you could get it cheaper. And they kept doing that until they succeeded. And don't think they're the same way with the sword. That's why of all the peoples in the world, they have the reputation for being able to take anybody apart. Same thing. They don't do that move one time. They do it 1,000. What if they find out there's a deliberate path to the cross? All the power and his plan and all the gifts and his glory and his presence. What if they find out and understand that in the problem areas that God himself has instituted, the Holy Spirit chooses the prayers to get you through? Well, we're watching TV. They'll be off somewhere, locked up, waiting for their manifestation. Hear me? I can't say that 20 years ago, almost, when he named two nations to me, Brazil and Japan, somehow I knew with Japan I couldn't go. I just wanted to run over there and establish a beachhead. But I couldn't. But now, it's time. And I think we know more. I think this time they're going to try to conquer the world with the Bible. Yes. This is a major project. Japan is a major project. So I want you to stand with me and pray. And how many is willing to offer yourself for any kind of prayer he would put you aside for? I mean, he'll move on you and do it. I'm not going to. So how many of you will... Yes, that's all he needs. Sometime he may come on you extra, more. It may sound different, depending on if it's intercession. Yes. or whatever it is. But something is beginning to happen, so I want to call you to alert. And we are moving by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. So are you ready? Father, we glorify you and praise you and thank you. And we know you've done all that you could about every generation you could do it. We know that. We know that you didn't let people go to hell just because you have your own time schedules. We know that. We know that you're always doing all you can every moment to see to it that nobody that dies in spiritual death, if there's some way that we can get to them. Father, this is obviously opening. For what reason? I don't know. Maybe it's media, the influence, whatever is turning loose. We want to glorify you and praise you and thank you. We want to make ourselves available for intercession or anything that you need to move this on down the road. So we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And like Tulsa, maybe it's the same tenacity that we needed here. But like Tulsa, Japan is saved. Japan is saved. Japan is saved. Hallelujah, Jesus. Japan is saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Japan is saved. What's going to make them get on that path? The miracles that are going to go over there. Hallelujah. Japan is saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Are not all things possible to him that believeth? And he that comes to me, do I turn them away? So believe. Is there anything that's too hard for me? And there's nothing that I'll ask you to do that'll be too hard for you. Only stand up and be strong. For in these last days, things are going to get interesting as far as you're concerned, saith the Lord. Oh, that's good. I'd rather have interest than
nothing's happening.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, sir. So if you got pain in your body right now, I'm trying to think of a good reason for you to bring it home. But I can't come up with any. So if you have pain in your body right now, stay on your feet. Rest of you may be seated. Hallelujah. Who does the devil think he is? Hallelujah, Jesus. When you search for him with all your heart, that's when you find him. We're not just talking locating him. We're talking not walking all cast down and barely crawling with his help. We're talking about treating the problem like it's already done. Well, then I'll just lay down and quit and just know. No, you're going to have to walk with him. But he's not the one failing or letting you down. It's not him.
persecution, afflictions come my way.
That's because the devil hates the person that you love. So he hates you because you love them. What a privilege. What a privilege. I certainly don't want to be counted with him. He'll use you up and kill you young. So how many's ready for the pain to go? Oh, Tanasi. How can we say thanks, Father? You visiting them with the healing power that takes pain away because it takes the cause away. Father, in the name of Jesus, saturate them now. Now, pain, pain, leave, leave their body. In Jesus' name, now. Rest of you, slip them on up a little. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I glorify you. Magnify you. Love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad that this building isn't East Tabernacle anymore. Glad that curtain's not the holiest of holies. Some of you'd be dead. Check yourself out. Twist, move, gouge, poke. Stretch. Touch toes. You can even slap yourself a good one if you want. Go on. Come on. Jesus. Something is happening here. All right. How many of you believes he did anything? How many believes he did everything? How many is not going to stop if he did nothing?
Talking unbelief, and I'm talking humor.
Not foolish jesting either. The last meeting I did had no foolish jesting in it. Did it? No. Everything made a point, didn't it? Didn't it? Paul in Corinthians. He covered in minute detail this gift he gave us. When John talked about it, he said, "My glory I give unto you, that you may know that he loves you, my Father does, with the same love that he loves me. But I'll give you a comforter, a tutor. He'll take you aside. He'll guide you into all truth." I like the way Jude says it too. This is after they lost some of their beginning. He said, "You need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." But why bother to tell me to contend if before the teaching's over? And Jude, you know, it has about 80 or 90 chapters to it, so I don't know where I'll find it. Why would he tell me to earnestly contend for the faith the early saints once walked in? They turned their dwelling places upside down. I mean, they caused chaos. The miracles wasn't like always done in a gathering or a service. They were done out in the public, done everywhere. Astounding. Astounding miracles. Pools, gates, town, deathbeds, processions. Excuse me, stop that procession. Why? Because I'm going to raise the girl. Said we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Well, how we know it was delivered to them? Why tell me to do that if he's not going to go on to tell me how? Well, in this great monstrous book, you don't have to go much more than 20 verses. But you, beloved, so you don't have to be as these sensual, devilish. But you can build yourself up above that mess. And what does 20 say then? You can build yourself up, up where? These be they who are essential, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, can build yourself up above that mess. How? He said, praying and what? Have you heard that somewhere before? You mean we can get on that path on purpose? And it's going to take us to the same place it took them? Well, I should have read a little bit further when I studied Jude. Whenever he said something about the love of God, I'd always just read over it and say, sure, everybody knows that. Everybody, you know. Well, maybe. But you love building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Then verse 21, it says, and keeping yourself in. Little did I know that when I prayed the key that delivered me to fasting and the key of endurance, so I was able to stay in long as I needed, and then the key of fasting, and then he unlocked the worship, then he unlocked the meditation, imagery, and delivery key, and then key after key. And it seems that the last one I prayed myself to was that final door that opened this, keeping yourself in, building yourself up on your most holy faith is then keeping yourself in. That I had no idea that it would affect me with edification as much as it would affect the anointing that you walk in, and that it would deliver an undeniable presence of the love of God that I can't help but experience change when I go into those times of prayers, but it's not like any change that I've ever experienced at the hands of the Holy Spirit. I don't think I knew enough about it to even know what was happening to me at the first. Throwing the love of God around in terminology is a common practice. Oh, brother, you need to walk in love. Oh, it's a nice goal. Thank you for that goal. Oh, thank you for telling me something I didn't know. Who hasn't heard, connected with him, that you're supposed to walk in this? Well, I just took walking in the love of God as an attitude I had to have towards you. I'm not telling you that the devil won't throw those things at you. When he talks, you'll hear his voice and an impression that'll go through you. It's like a feeling. You can almost interpret the feeling into English, you know, like I'm going to knock your block off. I'm going to hit you. You keep it up. He can throw that at you, and you can translate it pretty quick. You know, it took me a while to differentiate when he's under attack or it's just me. Fasting did that. We just threw that right out. It's supposed to be my attitude towards you, I think, you know. If you really walk in a lot of love, you can, you know, people can walk over you two or three times, not just one, you know. Getting good at this. The other guys call me footprint. Pretty soon it kind of spreads around that you're walking in love. And really you're walking in an attitude that you learn to control generally. But how do you feel about that person, really? He said, you would like to wring their neck when they wasn't looking? Wait, that wouldn't be any fun. You know? Are you supposed to be that way, forgiving to somebody even though you don't feel like it? Sure. Act on faith. Act on faith. At least let them know how you don't feel. Well, what's the difference, can you tell, from being kept in it and acting on it? Changes you. You don't stay the same. Neither does pressure. What appears to be defeat . What it appears to be impossible. Your emotions or you. You don't have to walk in them. Because you don't wait till you walk in something like that before you start doing anything. Jump in. If God didn't use people who don't like each other, then he'd get nothing done. Hallelujah. Well, then are you telling me that praying in tongues is going to affect, especially the way some of you are jumping in and the devil panics and kicks a few of your teeth out and drags you through a mud puddle backwards, face down, five or six times, and then has everybody desert you? Just because he does that regularly. You know, that shouldn't bother you much. What do you expect him to rejoice that you're discovering a nature you can walk in that's an empowerment of the one you have when you changed? That you can house something now that there's no limit to? The manifestation of love is compassion. Jesus was moved by it and left no one out. Is there judgment in that and things? Yes. Sometimes the love of God is in a form of judgment, or else a person could make it to hell. And that's not good either. Well, I'm telling you, I might as well add long life on there. A doctor, pretty renowned, did a study on brain waves. When you were truly, truly laughing and very, very happy and laughing, truly, the brain emitted a certain wavelength. And something about it promoted life. It produced some kind of chemical or something that promoted life. But for the, what's today going to bring? Oh, God, it's daylight again, same old Mondale thing, day after day. Oh, what's the use of living? Whatever you do, don't let the devil deceive you on standing before him one day and what's going to count. How many people that was lost did we affect? Oh, who am I? I used to get up. I don't even get up anymore. And it promotes death. But at the same time, humor, peace, a settlement inside, an abiding. It produced a wavelength and a chemical that didn't promote death. This promoted life. Then he did a study. What happens to your brain when you're praying in tongues? So he buckled them up and said, okay. Start praying. They prayed for a while. And did you know it used the same part of the brain that humor comes from when you're laughing at things? So no wonder. No wonder if you're praying in tongues and it's beginning to affect the mysteries you understand concerning victory. And now... Now I'm reaching out, trying to grab this abiding thing on love. And, I'm going to find out what's in it. And if it's anything like what Jesus walked in, he was moved by that particular compassion and he healed all of them that came to the prayer center in Tulsa. And he healed them all. Moved by compassion, and he healed them all. I mean, the love of God must have some kind of effect on you. It's good. Not just receiving it from him, but abiding and walking in it. I think if a preacher left this part out and didn't try to lead you into it, he wouldn't have done his job. Are you quiet because you like me? Thank you. You're listening. You mean listening as in you want to hear the next part? Oh, really? Listen, there's a bunch of people waiting at a Bible college, and it's open to the public. Someone will be there probably twice a day all this week, and my plane is leaving within an hour and something, so I'm going to have to go. Yeah, it's leaving in about an hour and a half from now. What? You don't care? Get a line up. Thank you. Then I go on to Maryland and I understand there's going to be quite a few preachers in this one. So this walk, we get to multiply again. Hey, it's a direct path to what he said you could be. Just get on it. Get on it. It'll even deliver you to the love of God. So, I'm going to give this to Gary. Anyway, I'll turn this part over to Gary. He can exhort on what you need to do about it. Bring a grand conclusion. Have a prayer line. Don't you just love Gary and Sue? Woo! Hallelujah! Come on, don't stop. If you have to get up earlier, get up earlier. But don't stop. Oh, I wasn't mad. Keep me in mind.
Hallelujah. Do we love our pastor or what?
Hallelujah.
Picking up where Pastor left off. Well, he did have me give up and several of us stand up and give our testimony at Vanita. See, I'm one that can give my testimony about what he's talking about. Sue and I had been saved and spirit-filled for 12 years. And the man that led us to the Lord sitting right over there, what I'm saying is true. Michael Muccio is right there. And Michael understood some things about praying in other tongues. You know, I told you he had a prison ministry at the time. And boy, after I got saved, I wanted to go real bad. And Michael says, well, if you want to go with me to the prisons, you have to first come. I think it was Tuesday night or some night. And you got to pray at his apartment 2 hours in other tongues. I said, sure, that sounds easy. Had no idea, you know, what I was letting myself in for. And I'm sure he didn't know everything that he knows today. None of us knew. Hopefully we've grown since then. But he knew then there was something about praying in other tongues that brought the plan of God into your life. Well, so I prayed a lot. We did a lot of those meetings with him and went prayed at the apartment. But it wasn't until 1992. And see, now here's the thing that gets me. We had the Holy Ghost those 12 years, the same Holy Spirit. There's not two different Holy Spirits. There's just the one. I had him. We could speak in tongues. We could shandai along with anybody during those first 12 years. But we didn't know anything about spending extended time praying in other tongues. And we had done a lot of things for God. I mean, I'm sure you do too. You know, things are available And so we helped Michael with the prison ministry. And then after he moved, then we kind of took that over for a while. And we would teach various Bible studies. And one time, I mean, this is right way out on the fringe of God's permissive will. I was a worship leader at a church for a while. I mean, I know that's hard to believe. I mean, you know. But I was the only one in the building that could play anything. I could play an instrument. And but it always seemed like in those first 12 years, he will bless anything you do for him. But, boy, there was very little in the way of leadership. You know, we were just kind of throwing a lot of stuff against the wall and hope something stuck. Hope something was his will, you know. Then we come here June of 1992. We start hearing this message. I had never heard anything in my life like it. And Dave, sure enough, you know, he had all the scriptures, and I began to follow through. I am a good student, and I didn't trust Dave any farther than I could throw him, to be honest with you. I mean, he seemed like a nice fella, but so did the last pastor that hurt me. Seemed like a nice guy, too. But we studied it. It took 6 months of me really following everything Dave taught, studying it out. I couldn't find any discrepancies. I mean, everything fit. Old Testament, New Testament, every type and shadow, it all fits. So next to receiving Jesus and next to marrying Sue, the third best decision I ever made in my life was that decision in December of 1992. I had a job where I was a long-haul truck driver. I had lots of time just to drive. Best decision I made was to turn off the radio, turn off the CB, and just begin spending all of that time praying in other tongues. And that's the only variable that changed. I didn't study the Bible more. I couldn't, you know. You can't be studying your Bible while you're driving a rig down the road, you know. I couldn't really listen to tapes. Those trucks were too loud to listen to tapes. You couldn't listen to tapes in those trucks. Most of them, a few you could. The only variable that changed was many, many hours praying in other tongues. And sure enough, now there was endurance involved. You've heard me tell, the very first time it was after some time between the 9th and the 10th hour straight, praying in other tongues. Turn to somebody next to you. Say, between 9 and 10 hours straight, praying in other tongues. That's when the first little teaching vision came. And I've talked to you about it. It changed my life forever. Still has to this day. But sure enough, as I continued to do that, not only did he come, first he came as teacher. He began showing me, opening up passages of the Bible. Sometimes it was a vision. Sometimes it was his voice. Sometimes it was just revelation. One minute you don't know something, the next minute you know it. You don't know how you know it, but you do know it. But exactly everything that Pastor Dave said began to come to pass in our life. At the time you're doing it, while the prayer is going on, it is agonizingly slow. You think, oh, hours go by sometimes. Sometimes days will go by. You didn't hear nothing. You didn't see nothing. Did anything happen? Yes. Dry mouth, sore tongue, and lots of thoughts telling you it's not working. But when I look back on it, from the time I started that prayer until the time he called us full-time into ministry, 17 months. 17 months is not very long. When I look at what has happened since that time, who knew that can not only see, not only is it the teaching of the word and the explaining of the mysteries to you in that, his plan for your life is in that prayer too. Who would have thought those hours just praying in those trucks, just praying, honk honk, get out of the way, praying, sip coffee, praying. Who knew that in those prayers he was going to send Sue and I to Europe to preach the gospel? That he was going to send me to South Africa for a month, teach all around churches around Johannesburg and South Africa. I got to teach the gospel in the Zulu lands, in a tent in a squatter camp. Who would have thought? Then I began to go to Korea 6 years. I went to Korea teaching in Seoul and Bundang and other places. Got to teach at missionaries. They have a missionary college there that's for lifers only. In other words, if your plan is not to give the rest of your life on the mission field, this college is not for you. Who knew that all of those things were contained in those tongues? It's what Dave was saying earlier. God's plan for your life is just as certain as the cross. And your ability to find that plan is just as certain as the cross. Really, you pass the torch of responsibility from you to the Holy Ghost when you start praying in other tongues. His promise is, what did Jesus say about him, the Holy Spirit? He will never leave you. Remember, he's not going to leave you as an orphan. And he is going to guide you, not force you. Not push you, but he will guide you if you want to be led into all truth. He knows the plan of God for your life. And as you begin to yield yourself over and allow the Holy Spirit to make intercession for you, he doesn't take any side trails. He's not going to waste your time. He begins making intercession for you according to the perfect plan of God. That's why I say there is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit will not waste your time. Now, what's exciting to me now, but I'll tell you this, since we're at the prayer center here, and I know most of you have been doing this for a while, let me warn you about the trap. The big trap that comes is he begins to use you. Whether you go into full-time ministry or whether you just become a minister in the secular world. You do know the secular world is where the sinners are? That's where most of his people are called to be lights in a dark, you know. But what happens, you start getting used, you start becoming useful, and what happens is the ministry, eventually, if you're not careful, it will choke out your prayer life. It'll choke it out. You'll just lose your prayer life. And it's easy to do because there is some fulfillment that comes when you're helping people. And we should do that. But let me say it this way. Don't ever lose your prayer life completely. You have got to spend time with the Holy Ghost. Allow him to. I wonder what's ahead for Sue and I now. I wonder what his plan is. See, I plan on living about 30 more years. You know, what's his plan for the rest of it? Who knows? I'll never find out if I don't pray. But if I do pray, I will. Now, I'm going to go back to that same point again. I had the same Holy Ghost for the first 12 years. This is so important. Why didn't I get those teaching revelations then? I didn't know how to activate the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know how to turn myself over to allow him to pray those mysteries to me. Thank God for the day that Sue and I walked through the door of this church and began to hear this message. I had the same Holy Ghost before, but I know what released it, and it was praying in other tongues. Amen. How many of you are going to pray a little bit more? How many of you are going to pray a whole lot more? Hallelujah. There's no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. Praise the Lord. I'll go this far. Dave said this one time, somebody came to him who was serious. Says, you know, my kids are all filled with the Holy Ghost, but I can't get them to pray. He says, will it work if I pay them to pray by the hour? Now, the religious mind would say, no, that won't work. Dave says, well, sure, it'll work. Absolutely, it'll work. Even if their motive is wrong when they start. If they'll keep praying the mysteries, the Holy Spirit, he changes your heart. They may start out doing it for money, but they'll end up doing it for the love of God. Now that proves, I mean, that's, when I heard that, I went, that makes so much sense to me. See, it's not the hours you spend, it's the content of the language. That's a prayer that is intended to be answered by God. And whatever the problem is in your heart, if it's wrong motivation, whatever it is, the prayer that the Holy Spirit is offering up is intended to be answered by God the Father. And even if you start out doing it for the love of money, you'll wind up doing it for the love of God. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. So let me ask. We're going to have two invitations now. Hang on. I'll make sure. Michael, have you got something to say? Come on. I don't want to disobey the Lord here now. This is my younger father in the gospel. He's 10 years or so younger than me, but he is my father in the gospel. This is the guerrilla fighter you've heard me talk about. He came over in the enemy lines. Go. Take the service, give an altar call.
And to continue where he was, who would have ever known? Now, I'm not going to get this out without crying, because I was crying back there a few minutes ago, that when I got in my, I had a closet that was bigger than anyone I'd ever had in this apartment, and I would go in there and pray. And I didn't have any money, and I was trying to learn how to live by faith. And I would, and I went in this prayer closet, and the Lord told me to go to a certain person whom I went to, thinking that I would be able to create business there. Because I would pray, and if I didn't have money to pay my bills, then I would get my briefcase and go and try to find businesses that I could consult with, because I knew something about how to help them increase their effectiveness in business. And he didn't do business with me, but he gave me three names, and one of the names was Professional Home Finders, which was where Gary was at. And so I didn't know much about, I certainly don't know much about praying in tongues as Pastor Dave knows. Certainly didn't then. But I would pray, I would go in the prayer closet and pray in tongues. And then when we landed the account with Professional Home Finders, and I say we because I knew it was the Holy Ghost that was running things. It was so evident. I'm not even going to get into all the stories that. But and I would call the names of the people that were in the class, and I'd pray in the Spirit over them. And what I was seeing some of this as Gary was talking, and who would have ever known then that some of the people that would get saved would turn around and come back to bless my life the way they have in so many ways. I don't, you know, just to let you know, it's interesting that God would give Gary the revelation he's given him about giving. Because I thought when he came to Christ, I thought, this is a guy who has the spiritual gift of giving. Because he was so generous in so many different ways. You know, one time when things were really tough, difficult, he gave me his Texaco credit card and told me just to use it to buy gas whenever. And but I didn't. I was able to expand and do a lot more in the prisons because he gave me that credit card. But who would have ever known then that I would be sitting in a church years later listening to him talk about going around the globe and being able to feel, as I felt just a moment ago, I have had the pleasure just by cooperating with the Holy Spirit to actually be able to do that around the globe with my brother and his wife. And who would have known that the person that would teach him how to drive a truck would be in that same office. He's sitting right back there. And that would then introduce him to driving how to drive a truck, and that he would end up praying in the Spirit and launching that ministry. And who would have ever known that years later when I was, you know, once again, didn't have a whole lot of money and had gone through some difficult times, that I would find a person that was also in that same office that has opened up his home to give me the whole upstairs of his home to let me live in it for. He doesn't want to. If I ever have to get any money to him, I have to find a sneaky way to pay a bill or do something like that because he just wants to bless me. I didn't know that much about praying in tongues, but I did have a vision at one point in time that showed me how important it was. And the vision was I was praying in English, and I saw this air traffic control tower, which I've never been in an air traffic control tower, but in the nightclub that I used to be a part of in another life, we had a drunk that would come in that don't get scared about this, but he was an air traffic controller. Now he would stop drinking before they tested him like once a year for a couple of weeks. So, but I can't picture. I don't think he would have ever went to work in the state. But after he got off work, we saw his other side. And so we talk about then. So I knew how it looked, and what I saw is there were these people sitting in the air traffic control tower, and I was praying in English, and Jesus was walking behind them, and these different people would, when I was praying in English, they would be like writing a note. And the rest of the people sitting around the prayer tower with Jesus walking behind him. He was like the supervisor of these 10 or so people that were sitting at desks looking out the window in this prayer tower. And so I'd be praying in English, and one of them would be writing something down. And I knew, intuitively knew, that it was a petition that would go before the Father. And then, you know, I'd pray something else in English, and another one over on the other side would be writing. And Jesus would go behind them, and he would collect what they wrote down. Then I started praying in tongues. And when I started praying in tongues, all 10 of these people started writing so furiously. It's like they couldn't write fast enough. And they were be handing these notes behind, and Jesus was going around, and he was picking up one note after another. And I came, you know, it was just, I experienced that, and naturally I took away from that. It is very wise to pray in tongues. So I didn't understand all the details that that wonderful book that Pastor Dave wrote gives, it lays out. But I encourage you with everything within me to pray in the Spirit. And to, now, I one of the things that fascinated me about Pastor Dave was the first time I heard him talk about, somebody had given me a little cassette tape, and he had talked about praying like for 8 hours, and I'd never really done that. I'd pray for a couple of hours, and then I'd study, and then I'd meditate and different things, and I would go back. But just the idea of praying solidly, and that fascinated me. And I realized, man, this guy knows something about that I don't understand yet. Because people thought I was crazy because I'd pray in the Spirit for 3 hours. Well, 8 hours is different than 3 hours, right? I'm mathematically very intelligent there. So I encourage you that this message that has so revolutionized so many of your lives, and certainly Gary. And by the way, just to throw this in there, because I was sitting there this morning at the 8:30 service, and you know, I know something about the Bible, and I know something about teachers and that, and I thought this morning's 8:30 message was about as powerful, I see some heads nodding, and about as significant as I've ever heard somebody take what's complicated texts to many and weave them together so beautifully. And that was another reason I was crying a moment ago, because I thought, I mean, if I can teach, that's great, that's wonderful, and I thank God. Sometimes I listen to my message and then I think, you can't teach, pal. Or you're leaving too much confusion in the teaching. And I listen to Gary and I say, boy, oh boy, what a teacher. And once again, who would have ever known what God was up to? And I got to participate in how he's used him. So that's what I had to say.
Hallelujah. See, and I know if we could bring people up here, if we had, we might want to have more services where we get to do that. You know, people tell how this message has really affected their lives, and we'll get to do that. All right, now I got to obey him again. No pressure on anybody. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're hearing, surely you can tell we're speaking from the genuineness of our heart. Nobody's trying to pull anything over on you. We're just giving our honest testimony of what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. And if you're here and you say, well, I'd like to join you, the only problem is I can't speak with other tongues. Listen, you can have that experience today. And if you say, well, I'm not even sure I'm born again, well, you can solve two things at once. If you're not sure that you're born again, or if you, whether you're sure or not sure, but if you can't speak with other tongues, I'm asking you right now. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. He is your next step. Why don't you stand up right now? Come up here and let us pray for you. If you're not sure you're saved, you will be sure. You know, the Bible says that salvation comes with great assurance. Great assurance. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But if you're not sure you're saved, or if you're saved and you know you are, and you say, well, I can't speak with other tongues. This is your day. This is your day. Come on up here. You'll be speaking in tongues right along with the rest of us in just a little while here. Because, you know, Peter, a lot of people today say, well, it's not for everybody, or it's not for, you know, that's just not so. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was talking about this very event and everybody was listening, he said, the promise is to you, this promise of the Holy Ghost, it is to you, to your children, and to all that are far off. It is for every believer today. Anyone else? We're going to give you a moment. Anyone else? This is your day. Be saved and know it. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and able to speak with other tongues.